What's up, and good morning, everybody. I'm assuming it's morning when you're listening to this, and if not, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is. This is officially the first actual episode of Heart State Review, so I'm very excited to do this episode, especially with the guest that I ended up recording with, and very excited to have him be a part of this new endeavor of mine, so to speak. I've known this man for a few years now, just through, of course, naturally the music industry and actually interviewing him and then kind of, becoming closer in a sense of just hanging out every time he's in town or kind of getting a few drinks when he's in town and everything like that. So he's a great guy. I'm very excited. And that's actually Jarrett Reddick of Bowling for Soup. So I've actually been listening to Bowling for Soup for most of my life, maybe most of you did back in the early 2000s, except now I got the chance to interview them. And a little fun fact about that is when I was a freshman or sophomore in high school, Bowling for Soup was my first ever interview for my high school newspaper, which I remember doing the interview with Eric Chandler over MySpace. So I slid into his DMs over back in the day, I guess, on MySpace. I don't even remember how that worked. I don't remember anything other than the fact that it happened. I remember I asked him what he would do if he wasn't in music, and he said it was just he wanted to be a chef. So outside of that, I couldn't tell you anything else about it. I don't have any physical copies of that, so unfortunately I could never prove that that did happen, but memory served me well, that did happen. I remember having to print it out and take a screenshot, so to speak, whatever the hell you did back in the day, and send it to my teacher, and so she finally believed me. But so my history with Bowling for Soup goes all the way back to my freshman or sophomore year in high school. And then I've interviewed, Eric Chandler, Chris Burney a few times over the years. But it wasn't until a few years back, July or whatever, 2018, 2017, something like that, that I finally got the chance to interview Jarrett himself. And it was a great time. We had a great conversation and great interview. So we just kind of kept in touch since then. And so when I decided that I was going to do a new podcast, he was definitely someone that I wanted to reach out to and kind of see if he'd be interested. And luckily for me, he was interested. We were able to get together, have some time, spent about 40, 45 minutes or so kind of talking. So you hear him talk a little bit about Bowling for Soup, their Grammy experience, because of course we actually recorded this right around the Grammys, and just kind of everything he's been doing since then. Of course, keeping up with Bowling for Soup, staying active, staying pretty successful, doing Chuck E. Cheese outside of here. Of course, I think we even touched a little bit on the Phineas and Ferb experience that they had recording the theme song and, of course, appearing in a couple episodes. So, on top of all that, we just talked a little bit about life. You know, he's got a great great story. He's very experienced and just about everything. So there's not many nicer people you'll find in the music industry, and that from my experience, and that kind of shines through in this episode as well. So I'm looking forward to kind of putting this out there. I'm excited to have a real episode out for you guys to hear something. And so if you like it, feel free, of course, to do the old like, not like it, this is a podcast. You don't like podcasts, subscribe, obviously follow us along on social media. Anything you want to do is great. If you never want to listen again, that's fine too. I understand. I'm already tired of my own voice, so I'm sure you'll probably be tired of it as well. So there'll be a bit of an ad, and you'll get right into my episode here with Jarrett Reddick. Hi, Jarrett. How's it going today?
Going really good. How about yourself?
Doing good. I'm sitting in my house. It's freezing because the heater is broken, but it's all right. So things have been all right, but it's a little bit cold here. Probably not too bad for you in Texas.
It's not too bad. I mean, it's been actually pretty nice up until today. It's high 30s.
Yeah.
But not too bad. It's been a very, very easy winter thus far.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah, it's been, interestingly enough, it's been like up and down here. So you get like your 50s and then it gets into your 20s and it's all within like 2 days. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I feel like that's everywhere,
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we will just kind of dive into a little bit of everything, that you've been doing. You've been obviously in very busy for 20 plus 25 years, right? So we'll kind of hit on a little bit of everything. But, I wanted to ask this first of all, just because, the Grammys were just recently. What was your experience like when you were at the Grammys many years ago?
It's funny. Our year just happened to be on like the craziest year in the world And in our, you know, in our own lives, I mean, my daughter had just been born, you know, actually on the day we got the nomination, which was like a month and a half before the actual Grammys. And then, you know, so that was crazy. We were on tour over in the UK and had to fly back, you know, for 24 hours just to go and then fly back and continue on the shows. And so that was crazy. But also, you know, it was 9/11 had just happened, and they had moved the Grammys to New York for the first time, first and only time, I guess. So that was, you know, that was cool. I mean, but so I mean, our experience was kind of everybody else's. It was this different thing where it's not the usual red carpet spot, it's not the usual, you know, venue and all of that. So yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I think people always ask, like, you know, who'd you meet and all that, and who made you nervous? And thing is that the people that made us all really nervous weren't the people that you would expect. You know, like we kind of expected to see Elvis Costello and, you know, and the Foo Fighters and Bonnie Raitt and B.B. King, but you know, it's like, you know, for me, it's like I saw Michael J. Fox walk in and I was like, holy shit, it's Michael J. Fox, you know? And I mean, at that point it was, it felt very real, but super cool. You know, you know, it's, and I guess a very impactful night for us, 'cause it seems like every other day I have a memory from that night that I'm talking about to somebody. So, an absolute amazing experience.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's awesome. I mean, it's one of those things. I remember we you and I did an interview like it last summer or whatever it was, and I made the joke that you guys were got that nomination before Blink 182, so objectively the better band, right? So,
Yeah, right. Of course. Well, you know, I guess you kind of have to take it as such that, you know, this year everybody's pissing on the Grammys, like the awards are meaningless or whatever. And I'm like, well, hey, you know, like we didn't fucking win one, so don't put us in that category.
Leave you guys out of it. You just went and kind of got to go, but and it's cool that you guys even got nominated. I mean, that feels like, you know, at that time you guys had been a band for almost 10 years, right? So you've been putting in a lot of work, and you got the, I don't know if this is the right word, but some sort of, you know, probably on like a mainstream level, some validity, right, to your band that this was, you're a fucking Grammy nominated band. Nobody can take that from you now, you
That's
know,
actually
so.
the perfect word, to be honest. I mean, that is a word that I would use quite often to describe of what it did. You know, it definitely gave us validity, but not really necessarily to our fans, but really to critics, to, you know, to our family members. I mean, you know, you had Gary, who had just dropped out of college 3 years ago to join this band, and here he is in People magazine as a Grammy nominee. You know, that kind of thing goes over really well with your grandmother when she's in the beauty shop showing pictures of you. You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, that kind of validity is hard to get. Even, you know, playing in front of 100,000 people in England, you don't really get that same thing as something that people can look at and know what it means.
You know, no, which is kind of crazy because you guys have always been like very successful, right, in the UK, and the UK has always treated you guys very well. And I would think that, you know, if I get to the point where I had a kid and they were like, I'm going to start a band, I'd be like, huh, okay, good luck, have fun. And then, you know, they're, especially by the time that is, you know, music industry, I don't know what the hell it's going to look like, you know, then. But I mean, if they're like, hey, we're going on tour in the UK, I'd be like, all right, well, be safe, you know.
You know, I think it's like anything else, man. I think, you know, and that's a common question, what I would do if my kids chose to do. You know, I one of the things that I learned, you know, I went backwards. I did responsibility first and went to college and started my own businesses and tried to be just like a, you know, an entrepreneur and stuff. And then, you know, found that if I just went out and just, you know, claimed happiness and just went out there and grabbed it, that happiness really is the most important thing. And so I would always encourage my kids, you know, if they, you know, it's not a sure thing, it's a shitty fucking industry, but if this is what you want to do, then go for it.
No, absolutely. I mean, and your kids have obviously been kind of growing up with as your band has, you know, kind of been going through different phases, you know, because like, how old is your oldest kid, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, no, that's her. She was born, she was born 2003. Oh, that's
right before then. Yeah.
Yeah. The day we got nominated for a Grammy, you know, January 7th, 2003. And she just turned 17. So,
oh man.
17, 14 and seven. So they've kind of been there for all of the stages.
Sure.
Except the, you know, the first 9 years, which was, you know, in a van, beating down, you know, just beating the streets. But, you know, to be honest, I couldn't have, I was in no position to be a father or a husband during those days anyway. So everything timed out pretty great for me.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be tough to, you know, because if, you know, if you wanted to now, obviously they could come. You know, if you're, you know, stopping by, they could either come out with you for a little bit or they could come by the show and, you know, but when you're, you know, in a van, you're like, what are you going to do? Have them sit in like the third row of the van where it's like in between like, you know, guitar cases and all that. Yeah, that's not ideal for sure.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to, you know, just touch on, obviously you mentioned the different phases, you know, that Bowling for Soup has gone to, kind of from, you know, gutting it out for 9 years, getting, you know, getting that the Grammys in the early 2000s and then kind of that continued success there. And your guys' band has, you know, over the past 5 or so years, I think, seemed like a bit of a resurgence, right? Since you did Warped Tour after a little bit of a break from that.
Yeah.
You know, which is I don't want to say unusual, but it's interesting. You know, I think it's really cool to see something like that where you get like a second wind. You know, maybe not a lot of people or artists kind of get that same thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think we're lucky in a few respects. First of all, I feel like our genre, pop punk, I think it's like, honestly, I think of it as being the same as like grunge or hair metal and those things in that there, it's always just going to exist. And it's, but like, I feel like punk rock is too broad, that like a lot of bands that are not in our genre, you know, pop punk, probably are going to get lost by the wayside. But I just feel like there's always going to be people that are like, you know, they listen to Bowling for Soup and they're going to be like, oh man, what else is like this? And they discover Sum 41 and Simple Plan and Blink 182 and vice versa, you know, and just the fact that most all of us are still out here doing it and you're seeing a resurgence in all of it is great.
Yeah.
And then just with our band in particular, the timing of our success, it's pretty great in that, you know, our biggest hit, 1985, was in 2005. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, Phineas and Ferb was launching and had a 9-year run. So, you know, those kids that were 4 and 5, 6 that were listening to 1985 on Radio Disney and then watching Phineas and Ferb, they're all in college now. And so, you know, that's what we're finding is that, like, even our college gigs, which, you know, can be really hit or miss.
Sure.
Are hit all the time now because it's all kids that just have a nostalgic view on us. And we're like, we're that band that their parents were listening to in the car when they were in the car seat, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. Some people will ask, you know, hey, well, does that make you feel old? And it's like, you know, I feel old because my knees hurt, my back hurts, you know, and like, and my daughter's looking at colleges. I mean, that makes me feel old. Just people liking my band and really, no matter what age, has never really been a factor in, you know, how I feel or where I feel like I'm at in my life. As long as we're somewhat relevant, I am happy.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think there's never a bad time. There's never like a bad era for people to listen to your band, right? I mean, you're never going to be like, oh, I mean, why are you only listening to, you know, A Hangover You Don't Deserve or like all this? And it's like, yeah, I'm glad they're listening, right? I mean, you can't
100%.
You can't pick and choose what you want people to listen to because then people are just going to be like, well, fuck that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You're so spot on. I mean, it's, that's just it. It's, you know, and also we live in a really cool time for music. You know, I know that a lot of people are down on the music industry right now, but, you know, when things start to become as exploratory as they are right now, then people's palate gets wider. And so it's okay, you know, like when I was a kid, you were really only allowed to like one kind of music. So if you liked heavy metal, you couldn't like country. And if you liked country, you couldn't like new wave. And, you know, I just feel like it's more like other countries now here, especially in the U.S., where The UK is the first place we found that. I mean, I'll never forget it. Like the first time we ever went over there, and you know, the email started coming in, and I got an email in like 2001, and some kid was like, "Bowling for Soup and Rage Against the Machine are my two favorite bands," and I was like, "What the fuck does that even mean?" And you know, but then you know, as I started to realize just how much of a part of a culture music is in other countries, Japan and Brazil, sure. and that, you know, I felt like, man, we're just still stuck in this sort of cliquey type. Thing where you know you have to dress a certain way to like a kind of music and whatnot, and luckily I don't really feel like it's like that anymore. I feel like everybody is just, you know, it's, you know, you don't really even see it's fun. I mean, I see the kids walk out of my daughter's high school and it's hilarious to me. I mean, they literally all dress exactly the same. Yeah. And there's no, you don't, I mean, back when I was a kid, we had guys that wore full-on cowboy costumes to just every day, you know? But yeah, man, I definitely like where things are for the band, and feels really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys have, you know, kind of hit the point where, you know, you don't have to tour so often, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have been pretty consistent, you know, the past few years, you know, with touring. But, you know, I feel like you, even when you do like US tour, maybe, you know, a few shows here and there, or, you know, I think the last one you did earlier this year was about 10 shows or so. So just kind of hit that sweet spot of what you need or what you can do, and then take some time off and do it again. And
You know, you've got to be, you know, that's the big thing. And that's where it got really hard was I was a dad first, and a dad for a long time before everybody else. Yeah. And so, you know, once Gary had kids and it started to, you know, to be just, you know, really. And then, you know, I had multiple kids. I have three now, and it just becomes harder to be gone. So that's just it. We try not to be gone for more than 2 weeks. And, you know, when we get home, we try to be home, you know, for at least 2-3 weeks doing that. And more bands that I'm meeting along the way are doing that. You still have those guys out. I mean, like Sum 41, I've watched their schedule this past year and a half. And I'm like,
brutal.
Those fuckers are crazy. I mean, they're touring like what we did back in the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they all have kids at home. And so, you know, it's that's gotta be hard. But I mean, I think that's just, you know, we all do it a different way.
Oh yeah. And, absolutely.
But yeah, you're right. We tour, it takes us a long time to cover a lot of area because we make sure that we're getting that same amount of time and putting in that effort at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially as they're getting older, right? I mean, you mentioned your daughter's getting ready to pick colleges, and you'll kind of go through that. And I know when I was doing that, it's a hard process in ways, you know, so to be able to have your parent, both your, you know, parents at home and have you home to be like, hey, you know, we can get through this, I think is probably huge for her too, you know, not to have to, you know, I'm sure it'd be okay, you know, FaceTiming you, for example. Obviously that technology helps now, but there's something different, I'm sure, about being home for some of those memories when she gets that acceptance letter and all of that stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's, you don't want to miss stuff.
You know?
And, you know, it's, it becomes, you know, I thought it was really hard to miss stuff when they were babies. And, but it really gets hard to miss stuff when it really counts, sporting events and things like that, you know. But yeah, it's good that we're able to be in a certain spot where we can find that balance.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's cool, man. And I know you guys all do different things, you know, outside the band, right? I mean, I think Gary does realty. Is that right? When he's home and.
Yeah, he does. He's a realtor, and then, you know, I do, of course, 140 different things.
Right.
and then Rob, our bass player, he still runs a venue. He does all of the booking and marketing for a venue up in the Poconos where he lives. And Chris is the only one that is just super content being in Bowling for Soup. He lives a very moderate lifestyle. He does his thing. He keeps things really small, and his life is super simple, and that's the way he likes it. He's a creature of habit and routine. Yeah. So he's the only one that hasn't really branched out to do anything else, and he's happy with that. So you know, he also doesn't have kids. So you know, he's content and good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know it's Rob's been And you guys met Rob a while ago, right? When he was in patent pending and, or what still are, they're kind of in that same boat of kind of doing shit whenever, you know, whenever the time
Absolutely.
Is right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And he's, yeah, we got him. I mean, they're like our little brothers and,
yeah.
He started out actually sitting in for Gary a couple of years ago when Gary's wife was having their baby.
Yeah.
And, then when, we needed somebody to sit in for Eric for a while, we asked Rob. And so when the time came to offer him the job full time, it just made sense because, yeah. you know, we already know that he's great at touring with us and that, we have a great vibe together. And, you know, he's been a godsend to this band. I mean, he's breathed new energy into it. He brings help in areas where
sure.
we really needed it just in day to day shit. And so, you know, that has been another really nice spark 25 years in.
Yeah.
Having him around.
And that's pretty much only the second member change, right? Because Gary came in a little bit after. But other than that, you guys have been the same four really for this entire time, which is, you know, huge. It's pretty impressive, you know, especially when you're talking about 25, 26 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's funny. Gary's been the new guy, but he's been in the band like 21 years. Yeah. But we originally started the band with my best friend from childhood, Lance. And once we really started touring, it was just an obvious thing that was not what Lance wanted to do or what he was into and all that. So that was an amicable split and Gary's been in it pretty much the whole time we've been going for it, like really out here working our asses off. But yeah, this is, we managed to keep it together 24 years but you know, Eric is making music and doing things on his own and living in another state and married and happy and
sure.
You know, that's all you can ask for. I mean, we'll be brothers until the end you know, we it wasn't a bad breakup. There's no hard feelings or anything like that. It's just time to go and try something else.
Yeah. No, that was getting ready to ask. I was getting ready to ask you how he's been doing. I'm sure I think I know you said it. I knew it wasn't, or I figured it wasn't something like this really kind of disdain towards him or anything like that, you know.
No,
know
definitely. Yeah, no, definitely not. No, he's doing great. I mean, he's living another life, and so I can't say that he and I are texting every day and
sure.
anything like that. But
sure.
you know, again, he got married, moved to Memphis.
Nice, yeah.
And yawn. He's you know, he's making music again, which I love to see because he's an amazing musician. And you know, he's active on Facebook, so that's fun. I see him around there commenting on all of our friends' stuff. And you know, we spent 24 years together, and 3 of those years he and I were homeless at the same time and having the best time of our lives. And so, you know, I don't think either of us look back on anything with any regrets. And you know, but one of the things that Bowling for Soup has always been good at, and you even mentioned our break that we took back in 2013, is knowing when, hey, you know, a change needs to happen here, or we need to slow down, or we need to do this, or we need to do this. It's always been very, we communicate really well.
Definitely.
And so, you know, when this change happened, it was all done with communication and with love and respect. And Rob became a member of the band last year, and this year he took ownership of his fourth of it. And so he's just as much a member of the band as the other of us, of us now. So,
yeah, absolutely. And it seems like it's gone over well. You know, it seems like, you know, fans really just kind of take it for what it is. You know, I don't see any like, you know, negative things for him. You know, it seems like everyone's like, hell yeah, that's cool. You know, everyone's all on board with it.
You get the stuff where people miss Eric, and that's, you know, I get it. I mean, you know, that's to be, I mean, you know, to a lot of people, we were a very large part of their childhood, and Eric, you know, being a big part of this band. I mean, that's one of the things about Bowling for Soup, is we're like a walking television show. So each guy is his own character, and, you know, when they change a character on a TV show or whatever, you know, there's always an adjustment. But yes, you're correct. It's been honestly nothing but love for Rob, and I don't see how it could be any different, because he's just the sweetest kid, and you know, he is like a pig in shit too. I mean, he is just the happiest dude in the world being in Bowling for Soup.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, and I know we talked a little bit. You mentioned earlier, 1985 was kind of like the big song for you that kind of got you through on a bigger level than Girl on the Bad Guys one. And it's always interesting. I talk to a lot of some friends, and every once in a while, and we kind of talk about that song, and it's still amazing to me how many people are like, "Wait, that song's like a cover, right?" And it's one of those things where it doesn't. Obviously, it's very much your song, in terms of what people associate with you guys. But it's so funny that some people are just like, I didn't know that, So when you were getting that song together, when you guys were recording and everything, what was that like, when you went to them and got that song and then recorded it for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, we don't really think of it as a cover, because to us, a cover is like when you go out and you do an Eagles song or something like that. I mean, this is more of a song to where, and that's just it. I don't think that the general public knows that most of the shit that they're hearing on the radio or by their favorite band wasn't written by that band. Now, we are not like that. Almost 98% of our stuff, is written by me. We do some cover songs. But the SR-71 thing kind of falls in between there, because they had released it, but only released it in Japan.
Right.
And this is a time before digital music was even really a thing. And so the idea from both of our standpoints was, hey, we released this in Japan, but this sounds more like you guys. And for me going, well, I really like it, but, there's aspects of it that I don't really care for lyrically.
Yeah.
And then also, I think we could make it more Bowling for Soup. And
sure.
Then them giving me the go-ahead to be able to do that, to change their song
sure.
and make it more ours. So, it became more of a collaboration in a lot of different ways, other than just the writing of the song as well.
Yeah.
But I don't, that it doesn't bother me that people either don't know or don't think it's a cover or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Again, that's it's one of those wacky things. Yeah. It's like, I think, I feel like sometimes people say, oh, that's a cover. Like it's a negative thing. It's like, I don't really understand that mindset, because like I said, very few people that people listen to on a regular basis are writing their own shit.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, at first it was like one of those things where I was just like, I don't really know if that's for us. And luckily I did it, because you're right, it's been our biggest song. And
sure,
and yeah. There's no one more thankful than the SO71 guys, because it's been great for both of our bands. So I can't say enough good things about Mitch and John.
Sure.
And I definitely can't say enough good things about the song.
Yeah, definitely. And you did a little bit of a mission, kind of changing it around a little bit for Bowling for Soup for you guys, and some references were removed and replaced with new ones and everything like that. And then you did a little bit of a bit of that same thing when I started going to Radio Disney, right? Because you had to do something like, you took out Prozac, I think. One Prozac a day was taken out. And
I always had a lot of fun doing the Disney versions, because now that one I kind of put some effort into.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, I would literally just make it up on the spot and see how silly I could make it. But yeah, I mean, that was just it. On the SR-71 version, they were a little bit more sort of in your face and out there. That I think they had a thing about like how her kids were born because the rubber broke, and I was like, man, that's not something I would really say, we went into, and they actually was like, their line was, never knew George was gay.
Yeah.
Things like that. So, I just kind of made it a little bit more tongue in cheek, Bowling for Soup. And less just in your face. And, luckily, again, it found a wide audience and sure. did really great for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to, and it's talking about, changing lyrics a little bit. You guys did that with Girl While the Bad Guys Want, recently when you
yeah.
did that live, right? And that was one of those things where it kind of, caught big on the internet. It was really cool to see. And so, but did you probably came up with that on the spot too, right? When you're doing that live,
man, it's so funny. Cause you never think things are going to go like that.
Oh yeah.
I had nothing to do with that. And that was kind of part of the whole thing, was we went, and at first I wasn't going to do it, because I was like, I didn't write these. lyrics, and it was people from Radio 1 that did it.
Oh, sure.
And I was just like, you know, I mean, these aren't really references I would use, and it doesn't really sound like me.
Yeah.
But then again, I was just like, man, it's Radio 1. I mean, for people who don't know what Radio 1 is, it's a national radio station in the UK. So
yeah.
It's like the equivalent of being on, you know, the Tonight Show or something.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I mean, like it's literally, and you saw, you know, what it did as far as spreading everywhere. So, we went in and I just was like, you know what, man, fuck it. This is their bit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try to rewrite it and make it better, because I don't want some radio guy going, oh, he didn't like my shit and all that.
Yeah.
So we just did it as is. And like you said, it was a huge viral hit and super fun. And, then I had to go through the whole decision part of like, man, should I just re-record it now with different lyrics? And I really did think to do that. But then I was just like, I don't know, man. I don't really want to do, I mean, that song got us the Grammy nomination. You know?
Right.
I don't know. Right now, I feel like it was just better to, hey, this is a great song. There's a reminder of it with the new lyrics out there. Definitely. In the world, you know, and a super fun version of it, and that's enough, you know.
Yeah.
that's plenty.
No, definitely, it can be one of those things, like if you know, you know. I mean,
exactly.
If you know where it is, you know how to find it, and if you don't, maybe you'll stumble upon it on accident.
100%. I absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, who knows later, right? I mean, I doubt that at any point you thought you were gonna do Stacey's Mom recorded, right? And then that happened years ago, so
yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's like that one, we had just been getting credit for that song for so long.
Yeah.
That that we just decided to just run with it, and it ended up being another one that has been great for us and for them. They think it's just as funny as we do that. We get more credit for that song than Fountains of Wayne does.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was gonna ask if you've talked to them, like how many times you've like met them, or like if you've talked to them about like, hey, look at this weird shit that happens, and they don't, you know, like people think it's our song instead of yours, you know.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, I've been friends with Adam for a long time. We actually wrote High School Never Ends together.
Oh, sure.
And so, you know, when all this was, I was like, do people think you did 1985? And he's like, not really. And I'm just like, well, for some reason, everybody thinks this is our song. And man, it is rampant. But but definitely one of those things that that just becomes kind of more funny as you go.
Yeah, absolutely. And Adam's he's a talented guy. I mean, he's got a lot of good things going for him. I didn't know that he wrote that 1980 or High School Never Ends with you, but that's cool. I mean, I know he's got a lot of Emmys and Grammys, like all that stuff. So he's a good guy to have in your corner, you know, in terms of getting those. Just writing in general with, I'm sure there's never a bad, like you go into that and you probably never have a bad time with him. I'm sure.
No, he is a genius, and he's very meticulous, and just one of those guys where, you know, I always love to learn something from every time I write with someone. And for him, you know, my favorite thing is, he's the reason I stopped writing on with pen and paper when I write songs. He was just like, you haven't converted to writing on a laptop? And I'm like, I don't know how you do it. It takes the emotion out of it. And he goes, you know, he's just like, okay, we're converting you today. Put your pad and paper away and get your computer out. And he's right. I haven't looked back. And that was 2002. So,
man,
18 freaking years ago. That's correct. No, 2000 and fuzz. Like that record came out in 2007, 2006. Okay, not quite that long ago.
Yeah, still 14 years ago. Man, it's crazy to think about how just time flies. You know, even I'm sure, obviously, being in music and going through that and touring all the time back then, and, you know, obviously things are a bit different now, but I'm sure it's one of those things where you just kind of look back and you go, what the fuck? You know, when you think about how old, or not how old, but how much time has gone by since, you know, like A Hangover You Don't Deserve or everything like that, it's got to be crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, it's crazy to put it all in perspective, but it's, you know, it's funny. That's just life, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Facebook memories comes up, you know, every day and reminds you of something 2 to 6 to 8 to 10 years ago. And you're like, what? You know, that was that long ago. So, you know, just, it definitely, you know, looking back on everything, it's nice that
sure
that each thing that I look at, you know, that has our logo on it brings back another memory and yeah. just something special, you know.
Sure, absolutely. Well, it's gonna be I'm sure it's a loaded question, and so I'm just gonna throw it at you. But when you think about one of your if someone were to ask you eventually, you know, or even just now, I guess, really, what is something that, you know, in your 25, 26 years of being in Bowling for Soup, what, I don't know. I don't know if the Grammy thing will stand out, but what kind of stands out to you where you're like, what the fuck, that really happened to us?
The Grammy thing's a big one. You know, some of the places that we've been and the experiences that we've had there, I mean, you know, Russia and, China, those things are, you know, there's some things that we've done with the military, I guess, probably are the biggest ones where it's just like, that is insane. That seems like it was somebody else, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely, and you know, it kind of changes, I guess, day to day on like what it is where I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe I did that. And I don't know. It's like anything else. It's like just having a normal conversation with someone, you know, sitting and discussing whatever life. There's always some Bowling for Soup show story that relates to it. It's always like, well, one day we were here and that reminds me of this, you know. It's just funny, and I found myself doing that this weekend. I was visiting my sisters and I you know, I found myself just Bowling for Souping the entire weekend. And I was just like, you know, maybe I should talk about something else once in a while. But you know, it's been over half my life and you know, the thing that has been the most consistent and constant as well. So
yeah,
it's hard not to want to just talk about it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a good thing to, you know, it's a good thing to talk about, right? I mean, it's a huge, like you said, a huge part of your life has been around for the majority of your life. And that's kind of, you know, not only who you are, but it's obviously a massive part of it, you know, and it's one of those things where when you start talking about stories or anything, you're like, well, I've got all these stories of this band, but what else? You know, I mean,
yeah.
So that's kind of where you would probably associate. Well, you know, I think a lot of people, and you're kind of in both boats, but I think a lot of people, when they, you know, they have children, they start associating like how old their kids were, right? When like big, like life events are like, oh man, that was, you know, 15 years ago. But oh yeah, my kid was like 8 at that time, you know, but you've kind of got that, and oh, well, Bowling for Soup was doing this at that time, you know? So it's loaded memories, I'm sure, but it's cool that you've got, you know, just nonstop things to talk about really with that band.
Yeah, it's funny. You're exactly right. That is how I measure time. I measure time with my band, with my kids, with wives, you know, like which wife I was with.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so, but yeah, it's, you know, sometimes, you know, but that's where music is cool because you can do the same thing with like what you were listening to. It's just like, you know, that's, you know, that was in 2003 and I was listening to this and it just makes you feel the same as you felt then.
Yeah.
Super, super cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to, also ask you, I know you did, it's been, what, has it been 6 years or so since you started doing Chuck E. Cheese, is that right?
Six or seven, yeah. Yeah, it's been, well, I mean, yeah, that's just it. So if you go back to 13, 12, I think it's been 8.
Yeah.
About 8 years.
Yeah. How did that come together? Like, did they come to you and say, hey, we've got this opportunity, like, what do you think? Or like, how did that all come to be there?
They did. I mean, they you know, the company's based in Dallas, and they had always actually used, they had always used outside, you know, advertising agencies, and they ended up hiring one here in Dallas, and the guys that got the account were fans of Bowling for Soup and had seen me do improv comedy, and so they basically went to and put together this reel of me and pitched me because they were trying to make him more rock and roll. So for those of you putting a visual on it, it's when he became small and like started playing an electric guitar and all that. I've been him since then. So since he became less scary.
Yeah. So since he became a little bit intimidating for the kids.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, I never even auditioned. In fact, the first time I was ever in the booth, I thought I was auditioning, and I was not. I was actually, is 3 months before I signed my contract, and I was already cutting commercials and writing songs and stuff. So it was a leap of faith by them, but the dudes that made that happen are near and dear to me, and you know, guys that I'm still glad to call friend. And it's just been awesome because I love nostalgia. Obviously, if you know, in pop culture, obviously, if you're a Bowling for Soup fan, you know that. And so to be able to voice a freaking icon like that is huge, and a really big part of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you kind of just add that to the list of, you know, when you think of, you know, Jarrett, this is it. You know, that's one of those too, you know, and it's cool that this becomes just such a big part of kind of what, you know, it's weird to think about, you know, when I was going to Chuck E. Cheese as a kid, you know, like what, and I honestly, I don't know if I remember like the voice of it that much, you know, but I know that it's one of those things that it is kind of like Chuck E. Cheese has really like transcended a lot of, like, you know, you see a lot of things that when I was a kid that aren't around anymore, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of
totally. Things, yeah, you're right.
Too, and, but Chuck E. Cheese is still there. Like, I know there's one like 10 minutes from my house, you know, and it's, they're everywhere. So I think they've got 600, 700 locations still. It's kind of crazy.
It is. And you know, and still expanding and still working and still rebranding when they need to. And so, yeah, I mean, they're definitely know what they're doing for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, another thing that that you do aside from that and aside from music, you have your own podcast, right? Where you, Jarrett Goes to the Movies. Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I have, I have Jarrett Goes to the Movies that I do every week. And then I also have Rockstar Dad Show.
Yeah.
Which is, Jarrett Goes to the Movies goes straight out as a podcast. Rockstar Dad Show, goes out on Adobe Radio first and then as a podcast.
Sure.
And, yeah, I mean, that's another thing. It's just another avenue of just, you know, content and entertaining people. And, both have been a blast. I mean, me and Gary from Bowling for Soup do the Rockstar Dad Show and get to talk about kids. And it's something that a lot of artists and people they love to talk about, but they don't get asked about it very much.
Sure.
And so that's one thing. And then Jarrett Goes to the Movies is just what it sounds like. We watch a movie and then we talk about it.
Yeah.
And, that's been going for 4 years now. So we just celebrated our 200th episode.
Man. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's something else, man. It's another one of those things where I'm just like, Jesus, hasn't been that long.
But yeah.
It has.
Absolutely. No, obviously the good news is movies, you're never going to run out of that. You know, I mean, movies.
That's so funny. You're right. And I mean, and like we pick them, but, you know, so we're 200 movies in or at least 200 episodes. And it's like, we're still like, why haven't we ever done this or this or this? Yeah, you're never going to run out of movies.
Yeah. So what is your favorite movie that you've done a podcast episode on with that?
You know, it's very hard because we everybody's got their personality. My wife is on the show.
Yeah.
And then my friend Eric, and then my friend Sean, who produces it. Each episode, you know, like, you know, if somebody doesn't like the movie, it takes it one area. If somebody does, if we're drunk, you know, they're all so much fun. But, you know, Back to the Future was a good one. That was our very first episode, and we just did it for our 200th as well. And, but yeah, you know, and we try to really change it up from new movies to old movies to classic movies, lots of 80s movies. And then we have a live one coming out, we're doing it next week on the 4th, where we actually have Anthony Michael Hall as a guest, and we'll be screening Breakfast Club live. And so that's going to be super fun. I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah, man, that's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, doing it live and getting him on there. Now, have you known him for, like, did you know him? Like, that's how it kind of like came to be, or was it like a connection thing that you got him to do it with you?
No, I don't know him. The place that basically hosts our live stuff has managed to come up with all the live guests that we've had.
And perfect. That's cool.
We've had Bam Margera come. We've had Timac from The Last Dragon. We had two of the characters from Clerks, Dante and the girl that gave the 68 blowjobs, and then now we've got Anthony Michael Hall coming in. So it's been a lot of fun, and the live ones are really great because you know you just never know what's going to happen.
Oh sure, yeah, no, definitely. definitely you don't have any time to go back and edit it, right? You're just kind of like, well, this happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The live ones just go out. And that it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you have? Kind of going back, I guess, to Bowling for Soup. What do you guys have lined up? Like, what are you guys doing here in the future? I mean, I don't know if you guys have like new music coming. I know it's been a few years since that's been out, since the last record came out. So, what are you guys doing with that?
So we've been doing a cover song every month or so.
Yeah.
We're going to keep doing that. We just went in and started recording Songs People Actually Liked Volume 2, which will our first greatest hits was Volume 1, is the first 10 years, and this is the next 6 years. So we re-record the hits and fan favorites and, update them a little bit, but not so much that they're not still, they don't, you know, they still have their identity and,
sure.
And so we did that. And then, we have a new original coming out very, very soon and video and stuff. That's going to be huge. And, then this UK tour and then we just announced Download Festival in the UK for this summer.
Yeah.
So just busy as always.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it seems like it'll be a lot of fun. Obviously, like you said, you guys are always doing something, really, whether it's not just touring. You do a lot of different songs. You're doing a lot of covers. How do you guys pick the covers for that?
We've actually just been dividing up and being like, okay, everybody pick one. And then we go in and we do them. Yeah. So, and it's worked out pretty good so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the download fest you guys are on, that's the one with that's Kiss, right? Kiss will be there, and
yep, Kiss. Oh man, System of a Down, and I forget the other headliner, but it's somebody like that. It's big shit.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's Iron Maiden, which is insane.
Yeah, like that's who it is.
That's
yeah,
nuts.
Our night is System of a Down, so yeah. my wife is excited about that, so she can go and not watch my band.
Right, she's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'll catch you guys, and then no, you'll look to your left or right, and she's just not going to be there.
Exactly.
That's cool. Well, what is, kind of sticking with that, you know, that festival spirit, there's a lot of, obviously, no shortage of festivals. You know, everyone's kind of got one. You know, so what is your favorite festival? I know you've done Download before, and obviously you've done Warped Tour many years, but if you thought of like maybe one of your favorite times doing a festival, which one would you pick?
Yeah, I mean, we've done them all over the world. We've done many, many different ones in the UK.
Yeah.
A lot of them here in the United States. I would say either Memphis in May, which is insane, like 12-day festival that happens in Memphis. There's one in Wisconsin called Summerfest that lasts like 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's amazing. And then, but you know, the best of the best is Download. It's just the best festival ever. It's crazy and so well run and amazing and it's hard to fathom, hard to describe.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's so cool to think about. Like, I want to eventually go over at some point in my life and like go to it, because they've got, I always hear that like festivals, you know, over there are so much different than they are here. And I think they're just like a scale, like a large scale of how big they are. You know,
yeah.
I don't know if we've ever, you know, got a festival that does 100,000 people, you know, in the crowd. And like, this is just like, I don't know. I mean, you can't see the end of it, right? I mean, all you just see is just heads, and you just, as far as you can see, it's just heads, right? And I mean, that's probably pretty crazy to look out and you're like, holy shit, this many people actually want to watch us, or they're waiting for the next band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it is. It's literally people as far as you can see, which is hard to describe.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Awesome. Well, I don't have much else. I just want to say I'm glad I appreciate you coming on here and doing this with me. I'm glad we were able to get it set up and looking forward to the next part of Bowling for Soup and what comes next.
Dude, thanks, man. You're always the best.
Yeah.
Always appreciate you staying in touch with me. And
absolutely.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to do it again soon. We'll get it done. All right. Well, thanks very much, Eric. Have a great day. See ya.